Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Prophecy or Reality, and I'm Nicholas. And we come to the screen here, or to the audio stream, and to the video stream live once a week. The studio cam is on, so if you want to join us, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. Click on the chat button there, and in the right hand column there's a small YouTube screen there where you can watch and not merely listen if you want to. Okay, what are we talking about today? Well, I have a question for you, and the question is this: does God want you to know who the Antichrist is, or would he keep you in darkness? That's a question that I think many people need to think about, because I believe that most evangelical Christians in the United States and most of the Western nations, they believe that they don't know who the Antichrist is, and they believe that they can't know who the Antichrist is for some reason. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, besides the, do you think God wants you to know who the Antichrist is? Does the Antichrist want you to know who the Antichrist is? Now, you got a choice. Who doesn't want you to know who the Antichrist is? A, God, or B, the Antichrist himself? Well, the answer is glaring. Of course, the Antichrist doesn't want you to know who he is. That he is the Antichrist, and he has been identified as the Antichrist for about 700 years. Yes, by the church for 700 years. And you can learn all about that here, and you can learn all about it in history. Now, God definitely wants us to know, and he talked about the Antichrist first through Paul's writings. And if we go to 2 Thessalonians, let me bring that up here on the screen for you. Yes, we can do that if you're watching. 2 Thessalonians. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now that's our blessed hope, the resurrection. Jesus is coming back and we are going to be gathered to him. That's the resurrection. That you, and Paul continues, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Well, you say, there are people going around that it's saying it already happened, or whatever, you know, saying that the day of the Lord is at hand. And Paul's saying, no, it's not imminent. Can you believe that? I mean, imminency is the doctrine of doctrines for the dispensational futurists, that Jesus can come at any minute. What Paul's saying here, he said, don't be shaken in mind. Don't be troubled by any word, by any spirit, nor by a letter as from us, or pretended to be from us, he's really saying, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's saying it's not. It's not imminent. It's not, couldn't happen any minute. He said, no, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now this is the great apostasy spoken of in the scripture. A falling away first. So there has to be a falling away first, and say, just a comma and, not a semicolon. Some people don't get the difference. But, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So Jesus is not going to come until there's a falling away, a great apostasy, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So what he's saying is, when you see a great apostasy, a falling away, that's when the man of sin will be revealed. The son of perdition. This is who we call the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists, but this is the Antichrist. You know, definite article, the. the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, that comes with this great apostasy. These come together. Okay? It says, and he describes this son of man, this son of perdition, this man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, we have a description for this guy. And Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So what is Paul saying? When I was with you in your presence, you know, but now I have to write this letter because I'm hearing people are, you guys are believing something else other than what I told you. Don't you remember what I told you when I was in your presence, when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So now you know what has to happen first before Christ returns that he might be revealed in his time, the coming of the Lord. This is the topic. But he's saying this intermediate thing has to happen first. Now the question is, has this happened? Has the Antichrist been revealed? Well, I say yes. The Antichrist says no. And the Antichrist has developed a doctrine called dispensational futurism so that you won't believe that you know who he is, even though the church fathers, the reformers outed the Antichrist and the great apostasy 700 years ago. Now let's look around. Now there's this great apostasy, and this is the apostasy of apostasies. Now this is a falling away. This great apostasy is a falling away from what? Well, it has to be the church. So this has to be a pretended Christian church. It can't be Islam, it can't be Buddha, it can't be, you know, whatever else you want to throw in. Mormon, well, it could be Mormonism is an apostasy, it's a falling away, because it's a falling away from the church. And so you can name other cults in there. They can be apostasies, but what is the greatest apostasy on the earth right now? Well, there is one great apostasy that rose up, and that is the Roman Catholic Church. And that's what the reformers said. They said, this is that great apostasy foretold by Paul, and the papacy is the seat of the man of sin, the son of perdition. And I know that because I can read right here what it says. It says that he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. Now remember, the temple of God is what? It's the church. It's the people. So if someone's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, that means that you have someone taking the place of God in the hearts and minds of people in the Christian church. Now remember, all the church is not true. And Jesus explicitly stated that if you go to Matthew chapter 7 when he said, in that day many, now he's speaking of the church explicitly, many will come to me saying, didn't I serve you, Jesus? Didn't I do great things in your name? Didn't I tell you how much I loved you continually? Didn't I do miracles and cast out demons and heal the sick? You know, Jesus doesn't dispute any of those things happened or didn't happen. He doesn't even enter into that debate there. He just says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See? These are the many. He said, many. Now there's the few that walk on the narrow way that leads to life. That they walk that repentance road. That's what I call it, the repentance road. Because they live the gospel that Jesus preached when he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Now, a lot of people, how do you know, Nicholas, that this is the papacy, and this is, and the man of sin is the papacy, and the great apostasy is the Roman Catholic Church. How do you know that? Well, because remember, Paul discussed these things in person, and I believe he told them things in person that he wouldn't write down. Okay? And we have a witness from the very early church fathers. As a matter of fact, one of the disciples of John. Now, John wrote his revelation about 95 AD, at the end of the first century. So following that was the second century. This was the church that John wrote the revelation to, or that Jesus gave the revelation to John for. The church that was on the precipice of the second century of the Roman era, okay, of the Roman calendar era. And I have some quotes from my little book here that I wrote for dispensationalists. It's called When the Third Temple is Built. Let me read you some of the quotes here. And you can look these up for yourselves. I'm not making this stuff up. So you can check out the references for yourself, or you can get a copy of the book, even free, if you go to the Get the Book or the free ebook tab and you request When the Third Temple is Built by following the directions there. That is crosstheborder.org, free ebook tab. But right now, okay, first of all, is the temple a building in context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? No, it's not. Because Jesus said he called his own body the temple, right? That was a clue for us. And then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So who's the temple of God? We are the church, God's people. Paul said again in the very next verse, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Pretty decisive, isn't it, that the temple of God is the church, is God's people. We are the temple of God. Well, if that's not enough, I've got two more references. 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:16, all saying that we are the temple of God. Then Paul writes that about the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the temple of God and the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That means that he's taking the place of God in the hearts and minds of people who are in the visible church or called Christians on the earth. That would be part of the many, those who only profess are Christians and are nominal Christians, Christians in name only. They're the ones that worship the man of sin. Okay. Now, this is the early church fathers. They agree with me. Okay. As to the let, or hindrance, the restraining force to the manifestation of the man of sin referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, E.B. Eliot says, we have the consenting testimony of the early fathers from Irenaeus, the disciple of the disciple of John, down to Chrysostom and Jerome, to the effect that it was understood to be the imperial power ruling and residing at Rome. Now that's from E.B. Eliot. Irenaeus held that the division of the Roman Empire into 10 kingdoms would immediately precede the manifestation of Antichrist. In his work, he says, and that's Against Heresies, book 5, chapter 30, he says, let them await, in the first place, the division of the kingdom into 10, then, in the next place, when these kings are reigning and beginning to set their affairs in order and advance their kingdoms, let them learn to acknowledge that he who shall come claiming the kingdom for himself shall terrify those sons of men of whom we have been speaking, having a name containing the aforesaid number, 666, is truly the abomination of desolation. Thus, according to Irenaeus, the manifestation of Antichrist, or the man of sin, required the previous overthrow of the then existing Roman Empire. And that happened about 600, sixth or seventh century, when the Ostrogoths, when Rome was overthrown. And then the papacy rose up and plucked up three of those horns, if you go back to Daniel. And he ruled the old Roman Empire for 1260 years. And he began the greatest apostasy that has ever existed. That has only, it was great then. It was great enough to kill hundreds of millions of Bible-believing Christians over the succeeding centuries. That's how great this apostasy, this great falling away, and this man of sin was. So it was big enough then to do that. Okay? And it's grown only greater today. Now, 2 billion adherents strong. Do you really think, as the dispensational futurists, see, they don't believe that history fulfilled prophecy at all. They don't believe what Irenaeus and Jerome and Chrysostom believed. They don't believe what's plainly written. They don't believe that the Church of God is the temple in this scripture. Even though Paul says four times before that, at least, that we are the temple of God. And so that if he gives a prophecy subsequent to telling us that we're the temple of God, then we need to understand and plug in that that temple of God is a symbol for us in prophecy. And that the man of sin is sitting in the temple of God, and that's exactly what the papacy has done for nearly 2,000 years now. Well, maybe more than that. Okay. But definitely ruled for 1260 years. Its 1260 year reign ended with the French Revolution. Prophecy fulfilled. Okay? So, does God want us to know who the Antichrist is? Yes! He wants us to know who the Antichrist is. Let's see if I got any more nuggets here for you. Tertullian, quoting Thessalonians, he says, "Now you know what detaineth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders must hinder until he be taken out of the way. What obstacle is there but the Roman state?" See, these guys wrote in the centuries before the great apostasy and the papacy rose up. They pointed to it. Well, how did they know? Because Paul told them. John understood. These were the disciples of the disciples. That's why they knew what they were looking for. Okay? So, what obstacle is there but the Roman state, the falling away of which, by being scattered into 10 kingdoms, this is all history, people. When the Roman Empire fell, it was the 10 horns rose up. 3 were plucked up by it and supplanted by 1, a little horn, and that was the papacy, which took the reins of the Roman Empire for 1260 years. Okay? All history, verifiable history, prophecy fulfilled. Throw off this dispensational counter-reformation shadow government delusion, because that was only created for one reason, because the Antichrist did not want you to know that he was identified as the Antichrist, because perhaps he knows he is and perhaps he doesn't believe it. Somewhere he's in between. Maybe he really is deluded into thinking he's the vicar of Christ on earth, an intermediary between you and God. I don't think so. That's his delusion. Let it not be ours. God wants us to know who the Antichrist is. He does not want us to walk in darkness. Okay? So that's what Tertullian says. He says, "What obstacle is there but the Roman state, the falling away, which, by being scattered into 10 kingdoms, shall introduce Antichrist? That the beast Antichrist with his false prophet may wage war on the Church of God." We could go on to Chrysostom and Jerome and find the like witness. which references may be found in E.B. Eliot's great work. That's the Horae Apocalypticae. Look it up for yourself, or you can look up the individual references that he gives. All that work is referenced for you. You can check it out. The Revelation passages that include a temple scene should be treated no differently. As again, there is no explicit statement about building a third national Jewish temple before Jesus returns. Okay? You can find these resources in my book. If you're a dispensational futurist, you should read this book. If for no other reason that you want to overthrow what I'm telling you, you can get it for free. It costs you absolutely nothing. You can buy it if you want. You can go to the Get the Book page and you can buy this book. I think this is $10.99 for this pocketbook edition. Okay? So look for the pocketbook edition. Go to my website, Get the Book page. Scroll down to low-cost pocketbook editions, and then you'll find it there on my author page. Or you go to the free ebook tab, you know, follow the instructions there, and in those instructions, add the line, say, I want when the third temple is built, and I'll give you that one. If you don't specify what book you want, you'll get The Rapture Will Be Canceled. So you can ask for any book you want there, because I'm telling you right now on the air that you can do that. Okay, so that resource is there for you. Now, in our next segment coming up, let me check the chat room before I move on, see if we got any questions, comments, or anything like that. Well, I guess no questions or comments, so we're just going to move on. Yes, indeed. Next segment, we're going to talk about the Daughter of Babylon. I'm starting to hear it again. This is all this stuff gets regurgitated over and over and over again. And I just heard it on my very own broadcast network, FirstAmendmentRadio.net. That two programs, one is Rick Wiles brought up the Daughter of Babylon, and they're calling that America. And also, and then it was on Butch Paul's show. He had a guest on who wrote a book 30 years ago and has revised it 7 times. What was really funny about that was he said that God dictated the book to him. I'm going, oh no, we got to add this, you know, stop the presses, everybody. We got another book to go after the Revelation. Now, I'm sorry, God's not dictating any more books to anybody. And anyone who claims that is sincerely deluded or a deceiver. So to believe the best, I just have to believe that they're sincerely deluded. And I believe the guy is sincerely deluded because he sounded very sincere. Okay. Well, thank you for that, WW, in the chat room. So got a few people that show up. And that's it. Okay. Well, a lot of people will listen to this on the podcast and YouTube, but... Okay, so stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll talk about the Daughter of Babylon. Is it America? That's coming up next on Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere.